Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Chav Tes. Begin on the fifth line down at the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah from daf Kuf Chav Vav. The Mishnah there was describing the halachas of the ability of a father, of the person that's passing away, what to do with his property upon his death. So the Mishnah said, HaMachalk Nechasav Al Piv, if someone divides up his estate based on his words. So the Mishnah said, Ribu Le'echad, Umi Le'echad, B'chulu, if he ends up giving more to one or less to one, or if he says that the firstborn should take just like everyone else. So, like the Mishnah said, Dvarav Kayyaman, what he said is valid because he's gifting it before he passes away. He's not being Masna Mashakas B'Teira. It has nothing to do with inheritance. He's just giving away and nothing's left when he dies. But the Mishnah said, if he says because as Yerusha, based on the laws of inheritance, it should be like this, then Loya Makomi hasn't said anything because he's going contrary to what the Torah says, and the person cannot stipulate in contrast to uproot our Torah law. Then the Mishnah concludes, which is what our Gemara is going to go on, if he writes, whether in the beginning or the middle or the end, that it should be because as a gift, then Dvarav Kayyaman, then his words are valid. So it's regarding those words of the Mishnah, regarding if a person gifts to someone else, or he gives all his properties to one of his kids, if he says in the terminology of gifting, together with the terminology of inheritance, then his words are valid, because although like our Mishnah said, that when you say it in the terms of inheritance, then it's not going to be valid because the person cannot stipulate on what's written in the Torah, it's like he didn't say anything, but the terminology of gifting, that is valid, and it's as if he only said the terminology of gifting. Now it's our Gemara that now is coming to explain this, that we said that if you write in either place the terminology of gifting, whether the beginning or middle or the end, then it's going to be valid, even though you also write inheritance. What is this talking about? As the Gemara explains, Hechi Dami, that Matana Betchila, what is this case of when if you wrote gift in the beginning? Hechi Dami Be'emtza, how is it if you wrote in the middle? And Hechi Dami Be'seifu, how is it if you wrote at the end? Either where you wrote the terminology of gifting, that will go ahead and kasher the entire gift. And even though you use the terminology of inheritance there, it's going to make it into a gift, which is going to make it valid and not Mashakas B'Teira. So says the Gemara, two versions of what was said. When Rav Dimi came, he said that I'm Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan said, if let's say as follows, Tinasin sad de plainis le plaini bi Russia. He says, let that field be given to that person and let him inherit it. So zuhi matana betchila, that's a place where you initially use the terminology of gifting. So although later on you said in that same sentence a term of inheritance, it's not going to be masna amashakaz b'teira, it's going to be valid because you said a terminology of gift in the beginning. Let's say he said Yerusha v'tinasan lo, that he should inherit it and it should be given to him. Zuhi matana b'seif. That's where you use the terminology of gifting at the end. Yerusha v'tinasan lo v'yerusha, where he says he should inherit it, it should be given to him and he should inherit it. Zuhi matana b'emtza, that's where you use the terminology of gifting in the middle. And that says Rav Dimi, name of Rabbi Yechanan, where it's going to be valid. Now, but explains Rabbi Yechanan, v'davka ba'odim echad v'soda achas. But this halacha of our Mishnah is specifically if it's one person in one field. Meaning that that field is to that person, and that's where in that same sentence for that one person, that one field, you used both the terminology of gifting and inheritance. That's where it's going to work, and it's going to be considered as a gift. Aval ba'odim echad b'shtei sadois, but if it's one person with two fields, for example, let's say he said that let Reuven inherit that field that's on the east, and let it be given to Reuven that field that's on the west. So that one that has the terminology of gift applied to it, that he will acquire. But the one that has the terminology of inheritance, he will not acquire. Because the gifting of the other field doesn't help the other field. Rather, this one he's bequeathing to him through inheritance, and this one he's giving to him as a gift. So the one that he's using in terminology of Yerusha, that's stipulating to uproot what the Torah law says of inheritance, and it's like he didn't say anything. So too, if let's say it's Sada Achas v'shnei b'nei Adam. Let's say it's one field, but for two people. So for example, he says, Reuven should yarshin half this field, and the other half should be given to Shimon, and that loises, says Rabbi Yechanan. There Shimon acquires, but Reuven does not acquire, because for his part, it was not said as a gifting, it was said rather as inheritance. And for sure, if let's say it's two fields and two different people, for example, he says Reuven should inherit that field and Shimon should be given that field, for sure, says Rabbi Yechanan in this version of Rav Dimi, that there he's not going to be koinek. That is Masna Mashakas B'Teira, the gifting of that other element does not help for this element. Rabbi Lazaimer, he disagrees. He says, Afila Adam Echad Ushtei Sadis, even if it's one person and two fields, Sada Achas V'Shnei B'nei Adam, or one field and two people, where just like he's intending to give for this person with a gift, so too he's intending to gift it to the other person, since they both said in the one sentence to the two people. Avol, but where Rabbi Elazar does agree, is b'shtei sadas b'shnei b'nei adam, but if it's, let's say, two people and two fields, where these are two different people and two different fields, then like there he agrees it's not going to help the gifting of this person with his field to the other person and his field. And as Rashi explains, they're arguing just in logic regarding when would you say that when he's gifting it to this element, that is going to apply to the other element too. That's one version of the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, which Rabbi Dimi had reported. Ki asa Ravin amo, when Ravin came, he said the following version. He said that what Rabbi Yochanan had said was Tinas in sad deplainis leplaini. If let's say someone says, give that field to that person, the Yirish plainly saw the plainness, and let that person inherit that field, which this is the case of two fields and two people, which this statement of Ravin was said by itself. It wasn't being said in explanation of the Mishnah, but it is also obviously by default going to be explained by Allah by Mishnah. Shabbi Yechana Makana, he said that even though it's two different people, two different fields, and one he used Yerusha, one he used Matana, the one of Yerusha will acquire. The element of Matana of the other one will work for him. Rabbi Elazar Aimer Leikan, he says no, that the one that has inheritance, since it's two different people, two different fields, will not acquire, because that's Masna Amasha Kasabatayr. So not only Abai L'Ravin, Abai said to Ravin, regarding his second version of this Machlekes, says, Anchasas L'Anchada, one of the things that you said we're okay with, because that's not any difficult, but about Takfas L'Anchada, but one of the things that you did say is difficult to us. As he explains, Bishlem Adir Rabbi Elazar Adir Rabbi Elazar Leikasha, we understand that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is not going to be a difficulty regarding your version and Rav Dimi's version. Why? Because Khan, over here in the first version, that of Rav Dimi, Ba'adim Echad V'shtei Sadois, was talking about one person and two fields. So one person and two fields, although it's not one person and one field, but even though it's two different fields, it will acquire. Khan, whereas over here, your version, Ravin, that you said that Rabbi Elazar holds that it will not acquire the one of Yerusha, is b'shnei b'nei adam, b'shtei sadis, is two people and two different fields, then they're totally unrelated. That's where we could understand, that's where your version is saying that is not the one of Yerusha is not going to be kind of. Now Rashbam points out, you have to say that the end statement of Rabbi Elazar of Rav Dimi's version, which said clearly, Avashtei Sadis Vishnei B'nei Adam Eloi, that however two people and two fields will not, it must be that was the Gemara saying and not Rabbi Elazar, because if so, why would Abaye have to tell him, oh, okay, so Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar is not difficult, when Rabbi Elazar clearly, even Rav Dimi's version says that two fields and two people is not going to be kaina, so obviously we would know it's not a contradiction for Ravin's version, which says two people and two fields will not be kaina. So it must be it was the Gemara saying it, and that's what Abai was adding in by his explanation, saying, okay, Rabbi Elazar would not be difficult. Rabbi Dimi that says it would be kaina is because he was going with one person, although two fields. You that said it's not going to be kaina kaina Rabbi Elazar is two people in two fields. Al Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan Kasha, but we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Exact opposites. The way Rav Dimi version had said it, that Rabbi Yechanan holds he's not going to be kind unless it's one person with one field. And your version says that Rabbi Yechanan is going to be kind even by two people in two fields. So that Ravin responded to Abai. He says, what do you mean? It's Amaram, which is me and Rav Dimi. You're right, we disagree on what Rabbi Yechanan said. Now, that's their versions, which is these different opinions that of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar. Vershlakasham, a third opinion, he says, Loikana. He says, by two fields and two people, the one that was said in the terminology of Yerusha is not going to acquire, even when they were both said together, which let's say he said, Tinasin sad deplainis leRuven, let that field be given to Reuven, v'sad deplainis leShimon, and that field to Shimon, v'yirashim, and let them inherit it. It sounds like almost that they're both being said to be given and to be inherited. And that's what Rish Lakish knows. The one that says the terminology of Yerusha, which is Shimon at the end, since they're separate bodies, they're different people, and each one has their own action applying to it, and they really have no relationship whatsoever, Reuben and Shimon, they're two different people in two different fields, and therefore the two terminology used in his sentence, one of gifting and one of inheritance, is correlated to these two different actions, which one is going to be gifted and one is going to be inherited, and the first one, which is the Rai Reuven, it was closer to the terminology of Matana, will be considered a gift. Shimon, which is closer to the terminology of inheritance, will be considered an inheritance. And therefore, then the one that had the inheritance closest to him will not acquire. Ad, says Rish Lakish, until Sheyomer, until this person that's dying says that he used the terminology of Yerusha in the beginning, and he used the terminology of Yerusha at the end, and he used the terminology of gifting in the middle, where now you could explain that the terminology of gifting is going on both on all the terminologies of Yerusha. Because just like Yerusha is being said to both of them, because it's said in the beginning and the end, so to the gifting that's in the middle will also by default being said to both of them, because which one are you going to say it's applying to? Both of them have the one Yerusha close to them. So therefore, you would have to say, according to Rish Lakish, as follows. Pliny, Uplaini, Reuven and Shimon, Yerushu, Sada, Plainus, Uplainus. They should inherit that field and that field. Shenesatim, Lembematana, which I have given to them as a gift. Vyerushim, and that they should inherit it. Where what you have to say is that the first Yerushu that they inherit is going on Reuven. The last time it says Yerushim is going on Shimon. And therefore, for both of them, the terminology of Matana that's in the middle is going on both of them. Because you have really two times that it says the terminology of gifting, which says shenasatilam that I have given to them, which is going to mix together with the terminology of Yerusha, because it says two times the terminology of Yerusha. That says Rish Lakish is where the terminology of Matan will be going on both of them, and they'll both get it, and will not be considered masna al mashakas b'tayr. But if let's say he said plainly and plainly Yerushu saw the plainness of plainness, let Reuben and Shimon inherit that field and that field. And Vitinoslam saw the plains and plains of Yerushim, let that field and that field be given to them and let them inherit it, then I would think to say that Vitinoslam of Yerushim that should be given to them and inherited would be going on Shimon, and actually Reuben would not acquire. Because again, since they're two different actions, then you should differentiate between them and the different terminologies. So to Fletze, he says, plainly, Yerushim saw the plainness of plainness. Let Reuben and Shimon inherit that field and that field, Shnesatlam b'matan that I've given to them as a gift. And if he didn't say at the end, Yerushim at the end, then again, I would still think to say that the first one is going to apply the terminology of Yerusha, and the second one is going to apply the terminology of gifting, because again, since you have two different terminologies and you have two different gifts, seemingly we would say, okay, one is the Yerusha one, the one is the Matana one, which one's closer? That's where Rish Lakish says that the only way you'll have that the terminology of gifting going on both of them is if you say Yerusha in the beginning, closer to Reuben, Yerusha at the end, closer to Shimon, and Matana in the middle, then you could say the terminology of gifts in the middle applied to both Reuben and to Shimon, then they're both going to get it, and not going to be considered Masnam al-Mashakas b'Tayra. Says the Gemara, these three opinions we just mentioned are Beplukta, are contingent in the Machlekes, as we're going to shortly quote, that Rav Avnuna is like Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Rav Nachman is like Rav Elazar, and Rav Sheshes is like Ravin's version according to Rabbi Yechanan. As the Gemara explains, Beplukta, that where we have Amar Rav Huna said, Loishan, we didn't learn this halacha of the Mishnah, that if besides the terminology of Yerusha, you also say the terminology of Matana, that it will neutralize that of Yerusha, it will be considered a gift and not Masna, Mashakas Bataira, which is, let's say, you're giving it to someone that the laws of inheritance says it does not go to him. Says Rav Huna, that's El Adam Echad Vesoda Achas. That's only when it's one person with one gift, which again is like Rav Dimi's version, name of Rabbi Yechanan. Aval adam echad b'shtei sadis, but if it's one person in two fields, or sada echad v'shnei b'nei adam, or two people and one field and two people, then it would not apply, because then we don't say that the terminology of Yerusha is colluded together with that of gifting. Rav Nachman Amar, which we said is like Rabbi Elazar's version, which we said both versions of Dimi and Ravin say the same thing. Afilo adam echad b'shtei sadis. No, even one person and two fields, or sada echad v'shnei b'nei adam, or one field and two people. It's going to say that it's one element, because both of these cases have one common variable, that the terminology of Yerusha is going to be the same as that of Matana. But if it's two fields and two people, then it's two totally separate things. Then we don't say that the terminology of gift of one will apply to the terminology of Yerusha of the other one, and for the one of Yerusha will not be kind of. Rav Sheshes Amar, which again we said he's like Robin's version in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that he says, you're going to be kind of afil shtei sadis v'shnei b'nei adam. Even when it's two fields and two people, the one of Yerusha will acquire and will not be considered a problem of like inheritance. It's rather going to be considered like a gift. On that, Rav Sheshes, he says, Menah min la, from where do I know that to what I'm saying is correct? That he always acquires even that one of Yerusha as long as he said also terminology of gifting. The time like Linda Brysa, Ha'aymerim, if someone says, for example, like a shchimra, a dying person, or even if it's tumah a healthy person, but it's tumah that he went overseas, and he commanded to give in this specific measurement that he's saying until his money is used up. He says, Tenu shekel lebonai b'shabbos. Give my sons a shekel a week. Now, a shekel in the Gemara, it refers to a half a sela, which is 2 dinar. But says the Braisa, v'ru'in litin sela, but it's really fit, it's appropriate for them to really get a sela a week, which is double the amount that he stipulated. Says the Braisa, so then noislem sela, so then you give them a sela a week. And the reason for that is because this that he said to give them only a shekel was only he meant to say that they should only have the bare minimum being fed to them, that he doesn't want to give them more than what they need. But since they need a sela, then of course you give them double the shekel, you give them a sela. But says the Braisa, v'im'ama, but if he said, al titnu lehen el shekel, no, don't give them but a shekel, which is clearly that he's particular about this, then ein noislem el shekel, then yeah, you only give them a shekel. Now the Gemara, in the end of Perek Matzias Isha, Mesechtik Subis, explains that this Bryce is going like Remeir, who says that there's a mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis. There's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of a dying person. But the Gemara there says, Rav Chizkiya says, Nimar v'ukvah, that actually the halacha is, whether he says give, or whether he says don't give, you do give them whatever they need, which the Gemara asks. But we hold like Remeir that says mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis, and that the Gemara answers, that's only about other things. But here, obviously he's okay with this, and this that he's saying, no, don't give them more than a shekel, was just to make them get the attribute of zeal, that they should work hard, they realize they're only going to have bare minimum, but of course if they need, then you will give them. Now, Vim Amar says the Braisa, and if this person said a different sentence, he said, Emesu, that if they die, meaning my children, as we continue to midbeis, then Yerushu Achim Tachtein, then I want others to inherit in place of them, these other people, not my son's sons, not my grandchildren, but other people. Then says the Braisa, Bein Shama Tnu, Bein Shama Al Titnu, then whether he says give, or whether he says don't give more than the shekel, Ein Noislem El Shekel, either case, he's not going to give more than the shekel, because he revealed his intention that he really wants them only to get not more than a shekel a week, because he wants, as he's revealing his intention, for some of that money to be left over for those other people, and therefore he particularly said a shekel, and therefore even if he didn't say Al Titnu, he only said Tnu, you can't give more than the shekel. Says Rav Sheshes, Bahahacha. Now in this case of this Braisa, where he said a terminology of gifting to his son, like it said, Tnu Shekel Abana, give this shekel to my sons. And he used the terminology of inheritance to others, like he said, Yerushu Achim, let the others inherit after my sons die. Where the Kishtei Stadis, Ukishne B'nei Adam Dami, which this is a case, as two fields, and two different people, Uktani Dukani. And we learned that those who had the terminology of inheritance, those others, they do acquire. And that's why it says in the Sefer the Braisa that Ein Noislem El Shekel, we only give the sons a shekel a week, so that those, what's left over from their state, will go to those others, even though, as the Gemara said, it's like two people and two fields. The reason for that is because for his sons, he's only giving a shekel every week, as long as they live. The leftover, which will be bequeathed to those other peoples that he wants to take the place of his sons, is like two fields and two people, because neither one are meriting in the life of the, when the sons are still alive, those others not getting anything. So therefore it's like two different fields, because the sons are taking this amount of shekels, however much they take. Whatever's left over is like a different field. Those other people are taking those other things. And still we say that those others will acquire, obviously, because the terminology of gifting that he says to the sons works for the terminology of inheritance that he uses for those others, because that's really masna amasha kasbatera. They cannot inherit. His sons have to inherit, or his son's sons. Obviously, that the terminology of gifting for the sons, which is one person and one field, will apply to those others, for those other leftover monies, which is other people's, which other fields, which is like Rav Sheshes. However, on that says the Gemara, who moisib lo v'hu mefarakla. Rav Sheshes, who asked the question on his disputants, he went and gave the answer to say that it's not difficult on his colleagues who disagree with this opinion, who they said, no, it doesn't work with two fields and two people. He says, you could resolve their interpretation from this Braisa, where it's Toma Biro'u Liyarsha. These are Achayrim that the Braisa says will acquire the leftover monies in the terminology of Yerusha, are people that are fit to inherit in the prism, in the medium of inheritance. And it's not because the terminology of gifting of the his sons help for those others. Rather, it's because they themselves are fit to inherit. Because they're like his sons. Meaning, what's the case, Tokmat? Where, for example, the father commanded that for two of his sons, that a shekel should be given every week. On that, he said that if those two sons die, then one of his other remaining sons should inherit all the leftover monies. Even though he has other sons. And even if there are sons for those that died. which the Braise is teaching us, Rabbi Yechonim Bibureki. It's going like Rabbi Yechonim Bibureki, who says later on the next daf, that if he says, Al ben ben abonim, yirish kol nichse, one of his sons he picks to inherit all his properties, says Rabbi Yechonim Bibureki, Devarv Kayaman, his words are valid. And that's why you only give to these sons a shekel a week, because he wants that some of the money should be left over for the son that he really loves, and he's intending that he should inherit all of it. So it's not coming because of the matana of that other field and those other people. It's coming because of inheritance. Now Rashbam points out, according to what the Gemara says later on, that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechonim Bereka, and they explain the Machlekes Rabbi Yechonim Bereka that is talking about a different person when there's a daughter, or when there's a daughter in place of a son. According to Rabbi Yechonim Bereka, he could bequeath all his estates to that person that is fit to inherit after the death of his son. So he also would be talking about someone that's fit to inherit, for example, an achar b'mokim bein, meaning, for example, he's saying that after my sons die, then let my brothers who are fit to inherit me, not when they're sons, but fit to inherit me at some level, should take their place. And that is what the Braise is talking about, but it doesn't contradict the other opinions. On that, I'm Rav Ash. He says, Tashema, he says, I'll bring a different raya like Rav Sheshes, where even by two people and two fields, the terminology of one's gift will help for the other terminologies of inheritance. The Braise says, if somebody says, Nichsay Lach, my property should go to you, which is a terminology of gifting. In other words, he's saying that, let my properties be given to you. V'acharecha, yirish plainin, after you, should that person should inherit it. V'acharecha, and after that person, a third person, after that second person dies, yirish plainin, let that other person inherit. So this is a case of, for the first one, b'matana, and for the second and third, is terminology of inheritance, which is like two different fields, because the second and third people don't get anything when the first one is still alive. So these are two different gifts, and the recipients of the gifts are different people. And still the Braisa teaches us that Meis Rishain, if the first one dies, Konashain, if the second one acquires, Meishain, if the second one dies, Konashlish, the third one acquires. Obviously, the terminology of the gift of the first one helps for the second one and for the third one, which is like Rav Sheshes, that two different people, two different fields, although you can't give Yerusha to these other people, but the terminology of gift for the first one will help and be the same thing for the second and third one too. Now, continues the Braisa, V'imei Sheni V'chai Rishon, however, if the second one dies while the first one is still alive, then Yachzru Nechasim L'Yerusha Rishon. So even when the first one ends up dying, it doesn't go anywhere else, to the third one, let's say, then the properties go back to the inheritors of the first one. And the reason for that is because it's only through the strength of the second person that it's given to the third one after him, because it says, after one, then it goes to that third person. Now, since the second one is never meriting, because he dies before the first one ever dies, so where's the third one going to get it? And therefore, it goes back to the first one. Although he's dead, it goes back to his inheritors. That's the Braisa. Concludes Rav Ashi, the proof for Rav Sheshes, because Vahacha, over here in this Braisa, as we explained, the Kishtei Sadis, Vishnei B'nei Adam Dami, it's like two separate fields, because what's left over that goes to the second person and the third one. So it's like two different fields, and there's two different people, three different people. And V'katani D'kani, yet we learned that the second one acquires, even though he's being written in the terminology of Yerusha. Obviously, the first one's Matana, works for the second one's Yerusha. Now, says the Gemara, Bechitam, and if you're going to say to answer for the other opinions, like we said in the first proof of Rav Sheshes himself, that Hachinami, no, here also the second person, Bero'u L'Yarsha, is talking about someone that's fit to inherit. It's not working based on and carrying over from the first one's Matana. It's talking about a son amongst all the other sons. And in its process, the Braise is telling you, Rabbi Yechonim Bereka, that it's like Rabbi Yechonim Bereka, that the second one acquires the terminology of Yerusha, because since he's fit on some level to get part of the inheritance, he's able to be given all the inheritance, let's say after the first one dies. But on that, says Rav Ashi, Ihachi, but if that's the case, that the second person, there's three parties, first, second, and third, the second one is fit to inherit. And that's why you're answering for the other opinions, why it helps the terminology of Yerusha, like Rabbi Yechonim Bereka. Then why is it when, says the Braisa, Mei Sheni Kana Shlishi, it said that often when the second one dies, then the third one acquires from the second one's strength, because the first one was given as a gift, but he said after you, it goes to that other one will inherit, and after that one, then the third one will inherit. But Hashalach Rav Acha Bereid Rav Avya, but Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avya, sent the following halacha, that a Yerusha, when someone gets an inheritance, there's no hefzik. It cannot then be stopped and then be given to someone else. So since you explained that this second one is coming to him because of the laws of inheritance, then there is no ability for the dying person to uproot that inheritance from that person's inheritors to give it to this third person. Rather, it would ultimately, automatically be going to the inheritors of that second person. Because since he's making the second one into the inheritor, like we said, according to Bichim Rich, you could do that. So even if he says that afterwards, from that Yerush, I'm going to give it to the third person, that is stipulating against what the Torah says. Because the Torah says, Uven Einloy, that if a person does not have a son, which tells us Ayin Alav, which the Pasuk tells us that whoever's first in the line of inheritance, it's not only him, it's all his descendants that come first. And for sure, in this case, where he himself is inheriting the inheritance, we can't go ahead now, meaning this father, the one who died, we can't go ahead now and uproot it from that person's children's children to give it to this third person. Because like Rav Acha had sent as follows. He said, L'divri Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, according to the opinion of Yechim and Bereka, which we explained that he holds, that the father could bequeath in the terminology of inheritance, he could pick one of his sons to inherit all of his inheritance. So on that says, Rav Acha, if he says to one of his sons, Nichsai Loch, that my properties are to you, as is going to explain. Vacharecha Leplani, after you goes to a different person. Verishin Ro Liyarshai. Now, the first person is fit to inherit. Now, he did not say, not a terminology of inheritance, and not a terminology of gifting. He just said Nichsai Loch, but he's fit to have it through inheritance. Says Rav Acha, according to Bichim and Bereka, where it's fit for him to inherit all of it, and he's saying, Nichsei Loch, my properties go to you. Says Rav Acha, Ein L'Sheni B'Makam Rishon. This second person that was supposed to be the second destination has no rights in place of this first one, or even the inheritors of this first one. Klum, he doesn't get anything. Why? She'ein Zeh Loshen Matana, because this that he's telling to the first person is not a terminology of gifting, Ela Loshen Yerusha, rather it's a terminology of inheritance. In other words, we assume, when it's unspecified, that it's a terminology of inheritance. That's what the gifter intended it for it to be. With this that he said, Nichsei Loch, my properties go to you. And the reason for that is since it's fit for this person to inherit all the estate, according to biblical law, if the father wants to, again, because we're going like the opinion of Yechim and Bereka. So since it's Yerusha, the Yerusha, since it's inheritance for this first person, says Rav Acha, ain lo hefzik. So then you can't stop it, because there's no half-baked Yerusha. A Yerusha means it goes to this person, all his descendants forever. Now, the reason why this was said specifically for Bichim and Bereka is because according to the Rabbanan, since you actually cannot increase the inheritance of one child over any of the other children, then according to the Rabbanan, for sure, when he says Nichsei Loch to the first son, that would be a terminology of gifting. And that you could stop and say, okay, when he dies, that then the second one should get it, and then so on and so forth. But according to Bichim and Bereka, where we would automatically assume that it's inheritance, then it wouldn't be able to be passed on. As therefore says Rav Ashi, seems to be then clearly from this brisa like Rav Sheshes. Because how are you going to explain it? It seems like the halacha is like Rav Sheshes, because the only way you're resolving for the other opinions is that no, the second one's not getting it, although he says Yerusha by getting from the first one's matana, because that would be like Rav Sheshes. Rather, he's getting because of inheritance, because he's fit to inherit. If he's fit to inherit, then how does it ever pass to the third one? Doesn't Rav Acha say clearly that there's no hefsik for Yerusha and it cannot go to the third one? Says the Gemara, you're right, Tuyufta, the Kula Tuyufta, and therefore Rav Ashi is correct in proving to Rav Sheshes from this Brisa, and it's a refutation of all the opinions, except for Rav and according to Rav Yechanan and Rav Sheshes, which is proving their point that you're always going to say that the one of Yerusha will be helped out through the other terminology of gifting, even if it's two people and two different fields. Continues the Gemara and says, Leibmanamitav Tuyufta Resh Lakish. Should this also say that this is a refutation of Resh Lakish, who he said that when you're giving a gift to one person, it does not help a terminology of inheritance for the other person, again, if it's two fields and two people, unless he said if you say it in a certain way, which is Yerusha in the beginning, Yerusha at the end, gifting in the middle, but he said unless you do it in that type of combination, he held if it's two people and two fields, it will not. Now, similarly, that's refuted from this brisa that says, like Rav Sheshes, that no, in all situations, even two people and two fields, the one of Yerusha will acquire. And that says the Gemara, but Vitizbra, is that logical to say that Rish Lakish is refuted from this Brisa?
But Va'amar Rava, Rava said in Perka Chaylitz, Hilchas HaKabaseid, Rish Lakish Banit Las, Halacha falls like Rish Lakish in these three halachas, and this halacha of Rish Lakish is one of those three halachas. Now, if it was true that Rish Lakish is refuted by this Brisa, then Rava would not have paskin that the halacha is like Rish Lakish in this area. And that's just the Gemara, that this Brisa teaches, that when you give a gift to one person, an inheritance to another person, that they both acquire, loy kasha. That's not a difficulty to Rish Lakish, who says that they will not acquire. Again, when there's two people in two fields. Why? Why isn't it a contradiction? Because Khan, over here, by the Brisa that says, when he gives the gift to one, and then he says, v'achayach acharecha yirish, plainly that after you, the other one should inherit, is talking about b'toich k'dei dibur, it's within the time frame of speech to the first person that he said, nichsailach, right away he then said, v'acharecha yirish plainly. Now that's why the gifting of the first person, it's like in the same contiguous statement, where although he says Lashon Yerusha to the second one, but it's like it's so quickly right after, it's going to help even for the second one. That Rish Lakish would agree to. But Khan, over here by Rish Lakish, that he said that that the one of Yerusha is not going to acquire when there's two fields and two different people, that's talking about La'achar K'dei Dibur, that's after the amount of time of speech, where he had said the terminology of gifting to the first one, then he says, he paused, and then he says that of the Yerusha to the second one, that is not going to help the one of gifting on the one of Yerusha. Because Rish Lakish was saying that yes, you're not going to acquire if it's Achar K'dei Dibur, when it's two people in two fields, unless you say, like he gave this whole different type of combination where you're plainly, you rush him and gift and you rush him. And the reason for that is because since in that case where you say the terminology of gifting of both of them, then Rish Lakish was saying that even Achar K'dei Dibur, that even after the amount of time of speech, that then it's going to work. But yeah, if you said it within Teich K'dei Dibur, like the Gemara is explaining, the Brisa is talking about, then Rish Lakish would agree, even two people in two fields, that the one of Yerusha would acquire. However, Rav Dimi and Rav Elazar, they are totally refuted from this Brisa. Because they said that no, they only said it's going to acquire one field, one person. But they both agreed, two fields and two people, it's not going to. According to them, it seems like even Teich K'dei Dibur is not going to acquire. Because if they would hold the way we're ending for Rish Lakish, that two people in two fields would acquire if it's Teich K'dei Dibur, then they should have told us this, that there's ability of acquiring even two people in two fields, which for sure we would know then when it's one field and one person, according to Rav Dimi, or two fields and one person, or two people in one field, according to Belazer, that it would acquire even La'achar K'dei Dibur. Rather, from the fact that they weren't able to find any type of terminology, any type of case, that the terminology of Matana would help with that of Yerusha, except with one field and one person, it's obviously that they held that by two people and two fields, it will never acquire, whether it's Teich K'dei Dibur or La'achar K'dei Dibur, and they're refuted from this Braisa. Now, Teich K'dei Dibur within the time frame of speech refers to the amount of time it takes for a student to inquire about how his teacher is doing. As the Gemara says in the first Perek Maseches Makis, Tavav Med Aleph, that Rav Achama Difti said to Ravina, Mechti, what's Teich K'dei Dibur? That is, K'dei She'ilus Tamad L'Rav. That's the amount of time it takes for a student to ask his teacher how he's doing. Now, what is that? How much time is that? It's to be able to say the words, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, peace upon you, my teacher. As the Gemara says in Merubim, but become enough Ein Gimel and Beis, that amount of time, if he says V'acharecha Yerush Plainy, if he says it within that amount of time, those few seconds, then it's considered one, and Rish Lakish would agree to the Brisa, even two people in two fields, which is like Rav Sheshes, whereas, however, if it's after Teich K'dei Dibur, that's where Rish Lakish held, that if it's two people in two fields, unless you say the way he said Yerusha, Matan Yerusha, then it's not going to be combined, and then the one of Yerusha is not going to acquire, because that's stipulating against Torah law, which is uprooting the inheritance law, and that's not going to acquire. Now, concludes the Gemara, the Hilchas of the Halacha is, Kol Teich K'dei Dibur. Anything, any two statements that a person says, one after another, if it's within this time frame of Teich K'dei Dibur, when he had concluded his first sentence, he already started his second statement, then K'dibur Dami. It's considered like one sentence, like one statement. And in other words, we do not consider it like as if he's retracting. Rather, it's like he said those two statements together as one. Now, the ramifications of that law is, so for example, if let's say both those statements could both technically take effect. For example, let's say he says that this animal should be a tamura for an oila, a tamura for a shlam. So then both those statements do take effect, even though one came first, and he only said Tumuras Oile would entirely be a Naila. In this case, you sell that animal, and you bring from half its value a Naila and half its value a Shlamim, because he intended that it should be a Tumura of both of them. It's just that he can't say both things out at one time. And we consider it as like one sentence, because both were said Techidei Dibra. Now, let's say one of them could be typhus, could take effect, and one cannot. Then you do the one that could, and the one that can't is considered insignificant. So, for example, let's say he says that it should be Rusha for one, and he says it should be a gift to one. So, the terminology of Rusha is bottle, and the terminology of Matana is going to be the one that's kinda, that's the one that he's saying at the end. Now, if both statements he's saying with and Techidei Dibra contradict each other, like that which we find early on Daf Kaf Dalet Amud Beis, where he says, for example, I want it to be Mida Bechevel, which is exacting, and he says in the same breath, Hein Chasa Hein Yester, whether a little bit more or a little bit less, or let's say where he says Istra Meimo, which one of them is 96 and one of them is 100, or let's say he says, like the incident regarding someone that's renting out a bathhouse, and he says it should be 12 golden coins for the year, a golden coin per month. And it ends up being an Ibriyo, which has 13 months. So is it 12 or 13? So there are those who say, Tavas Lashon Rishon, that okay, you go based on the first thing that he said. There are those who say, okay, you go Tavas Lashon Achon, you go based on the last thing that he said. There are those who are in doubt and say, therefore you have to split it. And there are those who go based on the Muchzik, that which is the one that's in possession. And in each places, we explain accordingly to those discussions. But where the person explicitly retracted from what he said within Techidei Dibra, where he says, I'm changing my mind, then everyone agrees that it would be a chazar because you're still in that same sentence. You could still undo what you said because it's still Techidei Dibra. However, there are two exceptions. Lebar ma'avodas kechavim, except for idol worship, where if a person grabbed a hold or he set aside something for the purpose of idol worship, and within Techidei Dibra, just a second later he retracts, even so, it's going to be forbidden because of the stringency of Avodah Zarah. As the Gemara says, regarding Avodah Zarah, it says, Shaketz teshaktzenu, that it's an abomination, where although that, according to the basic law, it would be permitted, it's going to be Aser. And, as we continue on top of Kof Lamed Amud Aleph, the other exception is Vikidushin. That if a person was Mekadesh, he engaged a woman in front of witnesses, and then within Techidei Dibra, with an amount of time it takes to say Shlom Lecha Rebbe, he backs out and he says, no, it's a gift and it's not Kiddushin. We do not listen to him. Rather, the woman is considered Mekudeshes V'Einu Mekudeshes. She's considered yes engaged but not engaged, because ultimately, really, he did retract. And it's a rabbinic stringency to say that, no, she is considered engaged, that she would need a get to undo that, because of the concern of rumors regarding Mamzeris, because if she ends up getting married to another person without getting a get from this first person, people are going to say, wait a second, I heard she got engaged to that guy, she never got a get, must be that the children from this guy is illegitimate in the Mamzerim. So to avoid that problem, as a stringency, we said that by Kedushin and regarding the stringency of Avodah Zarah, there even Techidei Dibra is not going to be considered a Chazara, and it's going to be considered a Kedushin and Avodah Zarah as a stringency.